as someone who writes sermons almost every week, it's helpful having a bench or a reservoir of interesting friends and family members. Their stories, along with those I've experienced during the course of my ministerial career, enable me to use living examples for points that I'm trying to make. My good friend Roy Attitude of Gratitude is one superb example of this. Roy and I met 50 years ago when we were in seventh grade. We hung around with different crowds, but became closer in 12th grade when a mutual friend brought us together again. Our friendship flourished when we were home from college for either holidays or the summer. It grew stronger when, after graduation, I returned to work in Philadelphia for a couple years, and Roy went into his family business. I moved to Chicago and joined the ministry and saw the world. Roy stayed in Philadelphia, rooted close to home. The family business went through some turmoil when he turned 40 and he had to reinvent himself. But he's always been there, and so very frequently when I make my return trips to Philadelphia to see the family, it almost always includes either a lunch or dinner with Roy. Last June, when Carolyn and I married, I looked around the room and realized that Roy and his wife were the only two people, aside from my family members, who had been at my first wedding. And needless to say, he was my choice to deliver the wedding toast. Earlier this month, when I drove to Philadelphia for our 45th high school reunion, he picked me up on Friday night and drove us to Atlantic City. He wanted to do an 11-kilometer race on the boardwalk the next morning before we went to our high school reunion. It was really a wonderful excuse to have a couple of hours in his car to catch up on our lives and what was happening. Now, Roy is one of those people who really blossomed with age. He had a laugh that was always contagious. Now, you know that sometimes when you watch television and you hear laughter in the background, it's because there's a laugh track. They could have used Roy's laugh. He got us into trouble more than once when he started to laugh in class. Even the members would bring me to laughter. And the rest of us would start laughing, and the teacher would get furious. As he grew older, he also developed strong leadership skills. He was just one of the kids when we were kids. He wasn't one of the class leaders. He never ran for any student offices. But I learned about a decade or so ago, my brother, before he had a stroke, loved to go on long bicycle rides. And he told me that Roy was the organizer for many of the American Cancer Society rides in the Philadelphia area. Rides going from like Philadelphia to Atlantic City or the shore, other places. Roy was organizing them. At the current time, he is, I would say, the heart and soul of team determination, as it's called. Now, team determination is a team in training for the Leukemia Society, but this is for the American Cancer Society. And they put together trainers who will help people complete a marathon or a triathlon, some type of race that it's a challenge to do, and you can, if you raise enough money, it will cover your entrance fees and sometimes even a trip somewhere. And Roy is usually the MC, or at least one of the motivational speakers when they hold carb loading dinners the night before the races. It's fantastic to watch him. Again, having known him for so long, and it's as though there's this totally different person there. It's So it's it, like to me as a friend, it's very rewarding. Now, I started running competitively when I was 15 years old. I was a sophomore in high school, and I went out for the cross country team. And they, I guess you might say they spun the top at that point, and it hasn't stopped spinning. I mean, I'm still, yeah, at 63, still looking for competitive races. Roy is relatively new to racing. He told me that he tried running in his 20s, however, runner's knee and Achilles heel problems brought an end to his running career before he was 30. In 2008, he ran into a woman who had given birth 7 months earlier. And as a sign that he's no longer the shy kid, he went up to her and asked her, "How do you keep that great figure? 7 months after having a kid, and wow, you look dynamite, you look like a model." And she smiled at him and said that she likes to enter the races, but she walks. If you don't run, you can walk 10 kilometers, half a marathon, even a marathon. So Roy started walking. Now, I have to think that if you're walking a half marathon and watching the other people running by and knowing they're going to finish a lot sooner, you have to feel some kind of urge to kind of run along with them, or at least for a little bit. So Roy decided that doctors be damned. He was going to try running again. And he did. And he found it didn't hurt anymore. And so he's kept it up. And you know, he's in races far more frequently than I am. I work on Sundays when they hold most of the races. And at races, he's very visible. Not only because of his flamboyant style, but he has a shirt that says, "Roy Attitude of Gratitude" printed on the back. It's his, you know, again, it's his determination shirt on the front, but he has it printed, you know, with "Roy Attitude of Gratitude," so everybody knows who he is. Now, last year, I asked him about the origins of his nom de rome, or his endurance sport nickname. I told him that I wanted to write a minister's column or maybe even a sermon about the attitude of gratitude. So he graciously responded with a deeply revealing email, and he told me that I could use it. He wouldn't be angry with me. He'd still talk to me. As he writes, "In March of 2009, I was helping some 80-year-olds get off the bus for the Golden Slipper Model Saver. They were in awful physical shape, but laughing and joking. When they apologized for being so slow, I told them their attitude was fantastic. They responded, 'We have an attitude of gratitude.' That night, for $35.43, I went home and from Zaza ordered a shirt saying, 'Attitude of Gratitude.' I have had it printed on numerous shirts I run with and will not run a race without those awesome words." Now, David Sendell Rass describes this relationship between gratitude and joy that the senior citizens are expressing when he writes, "Whenever I am grateful, I feel more joyful, more awake, and energized in mind and body. I feel in tune with life." Brother David is so attuned to the importance of gratitude that he even has a website, gratefulness.org. Now, I've certainly witnessed this joy in my friend. Although he finished 18 minutes after me in that recent 11-kilometer race, he was exuberant when he crossed the finish line. It is the same joy that I've observed when he speaks at the fundraising dinners for determination. When we acknowledge our gratitude, we feel moved to help others. Roy gives generously when it comes to money. He also gives generously of his time. Over the years, I would listen as he would try and pick my brain about life as a parish minister. He asked me why I went into it, and I explained to him that my father was a podiatrist, and my brother and I would often stop by his office and watch him working on somebody's feet, and invariably, he would finish working, and while he was cleaning up, he'd say to the patient, does it feel better? How does it feel? And the patient would always say, oh, I feel much better, Dr. Sears, thank you. So my brother and I like to say, learned at the feet of the master. The result was that my brother became the doctor of the gut, the gastroenterologist, and I became the doctor of the soul, the parish minister. When he was nearing death, I shared that with my father, and even earlier, before he had developed dementia, he couldn't quite wrap around it that my years of watching him heal people would lead me to parish ministry. He would have preferred that it had been Rabbi Stan rather than Reverend Stan. Roy's parents were philanthropists. They endowed a gallery at the Philadelphia Art Museum, and his mother was one of photographer Robert Mapplethorpe's major patrons. Whenever I go to their house, it was filled with art, and not just prints, they were original. After listening to my anecdotes about pastoral ministry, as well as working with families who had been ravaged by cancer through his work with determination, Roy decided a couple of years ago that he would like to go and visit people in the cancer wards. And so he took training and started to go and visit. As I said, he blossomed as a person. If those of you who have visited in a cancer ward know, or how depressing it can be. Most people would only want to go if it's a close family member. But Roy decided that he would go and visit people just to see how he could heal or help people through that ministry of presence. Now, I will add, I like the fact that he drew and learned from my experience, but I never took any training in commercial real estate. I had no aspirations to go into his business. He's very family oriented, and so I share credit for some of that inspiration with his daughter-in-law, who's a Methodist pastor. In her book, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, Annie Dillard writes, I think that the dying pray at the last, not please, but thank you, as a guest thanks his or her host at the door. Falling from airplanes, the people are crying, thank you, all the way down the air, and the cold carriages draw up for them on the rocks. Divinity is not playful. The universe was not made in jest, but solemn, incomprehensible earnest, by a power that is unfathomably secret and holy and fleet. There is nothing to be done but to ignore it or see. And then you walk fearlessly, eating what you must, growing wherever you can, like a monk on the road who knows precisely how vulnerable he is, who takes no comfort among death-forgetting men, and it carries his vision of vastness around in his tunic, like a live coal which neither burns him nor warms him, but with which he will not part. Gratitude is our way of saying thank you to the world. It is closely linked to generosity, which is how we give back and give forward, so that others will experience and share the joy of life and the warmth of community. When we have a sense of gratitude for our lives, we are able to put things into perspective. Sure, life might not always be as wonderful as we would like. We may not have our love returned. We may be disappointed by friends. Our goals may always be illusory, and our thirst remain unquenched. Yet, we have life. That was certainly the motivating factor for that group of 80-year-olds who spoke about their attitude of gratitude and inspired Roy to adopt his nom de race. Although it raised some hackles, I believe that President Obama made a relevant point when he chastised those who claimed that they had accomplished all of their successes in life without any help from anyone else. It's easy to forget how much easier it is to build a successful business, church, or any type of organization when there is an infrastructure in place to build upon. And that's what society provides us with, an infrastructure. Whether it's highways, an internet, these are not things that each of us invents for ourselves. They are part of our society, something that we have been given as a gift from others. It is the rare person or business that enjoys success without any relationship with or help from anyone else, including the government. That's why I constantly recite my one-line personal statement of faith: we're all in this together. Everything else is commentary and embodiment. When I was preparing for ministry, I spent a year doing an internship in Seattle. The minister who I worked with became my mentor until the end of his life. I could never stop expressing my gratitude to him for what he taught me from his own failings as well as his own successes. One of the writings that lives on from him is this: we build on foundations we did not lay. We warm ourselves by fires we did not light. We sit in the shade of trees we did not plant. We drink from wells we did not dig. We profit from persons we did not know. We are ever bound in community. I thought about this as I was working on my sermon. Gratitude is not merely being thankful for what we have. There is also a component of gratitude that impels us to give back, to share with others. This is the aspect of community. Gratitude that ends with the words "thank you" is only a partial response. The fuller meaning of gratitude is to give thanks for what we have received, and then to help others to the extent that we can. That's why we're not alone. We are all in this together. Now, many of you were here when you decided to expand and upgrade your building. Although it may not always feel that way when you are paying for repairs to the roof or the stained glass windows, I know that you are grateful to the Universalists of the past who contributed so generously that you would have this beautiful building. If you have ever been part of a congregation that had to set up each week arriving early, putting out a sign in front so that people would know this was the Unitarian Universalist congregation, perhaps unloading hymnals from a trunk or from a closet, finding a chalice from its hiding place, setting up chairs. If you've ever been in that type of congregation, you know what a blessing it is to have your own space, and particularly to have a building like this. You have worship space that is conducive to a religious community, a place where we can feel a sense of reverence as we gather here together. You're not in the linoleum floored elementary school classroom or an office in a strip mall. Some of our congregations worship in such spaces. I know I have led worship in places like that over the years. Believe me, it's a real challenge trying to create a spiritually enriching service when you feel as though you're in an elementary school classroom rather than a church. When I light a chalice each week, I try to remind the congregation that we did not arise out of the earth through some form of theological spontaneous generation. We are here because martyrs in the past gave their lives to the ideas that undergird our faith. We are here because previous generations of Unitarians and Universalists suffered persecution in their communities, but had the guts, perspicacity, to hang in there and to create congregations that have endured. There is no escaping nor denying the reality that we are the inheritors who have benefited from their sacrifices. Now, since I'm a runner, I like to use the analogy of a relay team. Those of you who have watched a relay race know that each runner has a baton and then passes it along to the next runner. The goal of each runner is to at least hold the position that you've been given from the previous runner, and better yet, to advance it so that, say, if you've gotten the baton in fourth place, maybe you'll make it to third place or second place, so that the next runner will have a better shot at winning. Church is just like that. This church has been passed along to us by previous generations. The baton is in our hands. In ancient days, or even now when you're watching the Olympics, they always open with a torch relay. Think of that as a flaming chalice. We're carrying it on to pass along to the next generation. It's our challenge to step in there and to keep passing it along, and to do it so that the next generation will have an even better position. Now, I'm going to be clear. This is not a question of guilt. I know I've sometimes said guilt is a gift that keeps on giving. But this is not about guilt. It's one of gratitude. We know how much better we feel when we are able to build on our gratitude to help others. This is one of the reasons people own life insurance policies. If you didn't have any concern for your partner, spouse, or anyone else, there'd be no reason for a life insurance policy. You just die and that would be it. When my younger son graduated from college, I knew that neither one of my sons could have afforded the college educations they received from Carleton and the University of Chicago on my earnings, let alone my savings. Yet previous generations of people who had some relationship with those schools had passed along money so that my sons were able to have a both had fantastic educations. Now, while they were students, I tried to contribute some meager amount to the parent funds. And I still contribute. And I told my sons when they graduated, now that you've graduated and you're earning an income, it's your turn to pass it on and to contribute. And I did something else. I took one of my life insurance policies and made their colleges beneficiaries. My sons, I explained to them, and they understood. It will still not cover the six-figure amounts of aid that each boy received, but it was my way of expressing gratitude. Several of the congregations that I have served have benefited from the generosity of previous generations. People who might have contributed life insurance policies, people who left something from their estates to the congregations. And those significant gifts have helped sustain our congregation, sometimes through difficult times. If you're in a position to do so, I would encourage you to think about this option. That is something to think about for the future. The work at hand for this morning is to express gratitude for what the Unitarian Universalist Church of Rutland has done for you in the past and is doing for you now. To express gratitude for the fact that you have a beautiful church to grow your soul, to grow your heart, to deepen your compassion, knowing that you are among people who reach out to you and care for you. That's the essence of a beloved community, and that is what you have, and that's what you should celebrate. Keep, my friend, Roy attitude of gratitude in mind as you think about your pledge. Whether you are young, middle-aged, or a contemporary of that group of seniors who spoke of their attitude of gratitude on the way to their senior, ask yourself how you can best express your gratitude to this church. Now, I'm not going to say give until it hurts or even make a pledge until it hurts, because I know that if you try that, you're not going to fulfill that pledge. And I don't want you to give until it hurts. Give until you feel good. Give until you feel good about what you are doing for this church. Adopt this attitude of gratitude, and I know that you will. Blessings upon you. Yeah.